The site of the biblical Garden of Eden has been identified. That's according to Edmund Marriage from the Golden Age Project.
We have very detailed records within the Sumerian history books, which were put together way before 5000 BC. And in the last 20 or 30 years, a marvelous man called Christian O'Brien has been able to translate what we call the proto-cuneiform, which was the text written by the Sumerians. It started as a picture language of a vertical picture and then turned into wedge-shaped lines on clay. And he was able to do a job that we've all been waiting for since these tablets were discovered in the Nipper Library by the University of Pennsylvania in 1896-97. And he translated the story of Kar Sag, which means head enclosure, and from other works such as the Books of Enoch and looking at the Genesis text and the very detailed accounts in the Sumerian history books. As one of the world's great exploration geologists, he was able to locate the site in southern Lebanon, 8 miles north of Mount Hermon and 25 miles west of Damascus.
And if you go there, what do you find?
You find a lake bed, which is now flooded. It would have been flat, very fertile in volcanic soil, beautiful location. It would have been surrounded by cedar trees up in the mountains where the snow still lies in the summer months, early summer months, in what we call the Anti-Lebanon Mountains, which is either side of the great Bekaa Valley, which runs down from Syria down into the Dead Sea Valley.
And what makes you so sure that this is the right place? Because obviously there are lots of other places that have been claimed in Mesopotamia and the Nile Delta and so on, have all been claimed to be the original garden.
That's right. All the other claimants basically have really not known quite where to look, because the greatest confusion has been over the river that went out of Eden to water the garden and was parted into four rivers, which confused everybody. But when we retranslate that text and look at it again, we find that the river was in fact a great watercourse, and that parting the river were sluices, and the heads of the rivers were irrigation channels in the garden. And as soon as we look at that different translation, where the word river has been used generally for a term where water flows, but river takes all forms, and we see an artificial great watercourse, which was referred to in the Sumerian epics in great detail, and then we can see that this went into this area of the Rakaia Basin and four irrigation channels, which were given names, and maybe Euphrates was a name for one of them, which was later given to a river when these people moved down to the lower areas between the two rivers, the Tigris and what are now called the Euphrates.
And what sort of archaeological evidence is there for this?
There's lots. If you go onto the website, you can actually look at this great watercourse from the Google images. And the great excitement for me is to find that the Google images show the remains or the footings of a dam where the reservoir stood, and also where the great watercourse is. And you can even pick out the points which could well be the sites of the sluices and the irrigation channels which water this what would have been a very fertile lake bed. But it had to be drained. And the problem was of getting the surplus water away from the melting snows, and then being able to use what water they could to water the crops during the very, very dry summers which occurred at the time that this was in use, which is right back to 9,500 BC.
What are the implications of this?
Well, they're immense, because we can show the biblical records, the story which most of us have been taught, the Quran, the Bible, and many of the religious texts are all based partially on truth. The difficulty has been in getting it translated and understood properly. And people have gone off at tangents because there have been mistranslations. And the Quran and the Bible are very recent in terms of this time span of the origins of agriculture and the what we call the Holocene, the wholly recent period of time. And so we go back to 9,500 BC. We know that's when things started up again after a horrific climate change, global catastrophe, Earth moving on its axis. And it seems clear that a small group of survivors, our ancestors, had to start all over again following this big global catastrophe. And all the traditional stories from around the world talk about the teachers and craftsmen and the gods who delivered all the various things that made their civilizations work and carried out great deeds. That's common throughout the world. And we can trace right round the world the links back to the small group of people who arrived and managed to get the planet working again in terms of civilization and agriculture in particular.
That's Edmund Marriage.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.